This podcast is proud to be a part of the Blueberry Network. Find freshly picked podcasts just for you at blueberry.com. That's blueberry, no ease, .com.
No one wants to see that.
That's good. Nobody wants to see that.
Yeah, but they do.
Yeah. Hi, I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Shoup.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are theater geeks.
Hey there, welcome to Theater Geeks, the podcast about community theater and the performing arts. We have a couple of things to talk about today. The first thing is that our episode of last week about the word actor or actress and which was appropriate to use got a huge amount of feedback online and also in a couple of emails as well. Yeah. And it's kind of interesting that the Twitterverse, those of you who pay attention to Twitter, would rather interested to know. We had some feedback from we got retweeted essentially by someone at Samuel French. And I believe I know who that is, but I won't mention her name because I'm not positive. one of the questions was, if you prefer actor or actress as a term, because actress has been sort of, de-emphasized, it seems. And one of the people who goes by Tamaraneo on Twitter said, "I vastly prefer actor. Would you call a doctor who is a woman a doctress or a lawyer a lawyeress?" And some people felt that, you know, ultimately gender doesn't make a difference in terms of the profession. And I guess I can see that point, except that, yes, it does when you're casting. You know, there is a difference there. You know, if you need a female actor, you need an actress or a female actor, and one word is better than two, right?
Well, I would think so, but
yeah. And then so
it's just been recently, within the last maybe 10 years or so, I think, that this problem has come up.
But I do think it's interesting. But and then most people, I think, through our Twittering have said they would prefer just to be called actor.
That's actor. Yeah. And one of the comments that was made, I believe, by Samuel French tweeter was that it seemed that for the most part, people outside the industry liked actress better than people inside the industry. And we're talking professionals at that level.
Yeah.
Now, on the other hand, I think there's also an age thing, too. I'm a little bit older. I'm used to the idea of actress, and that was the thing to call a female actor when I was growing up, and I think for all three of us. Richard McNally, who's a good friend of ours, was in a show here coming up on 9 years ago now, wrote a letter to me and said many years ago, and he's thinking 15 or 20, Actors Equity magazine came out with a front page article about the Women's Committee of AEA requesting everyone to henceforth discard the use of the word actress and use only actor when referring to a female actor. And so he was, he said he sent the article to a movie critic friend of his who felt that, again, it's like, why use only one word when two words will do? Yeah. Female actor. So there was a controversy at the time whenever that particular recommendation came out. So anyway, I just thought it was kind of interesting. And I also felt like, you know, for one of the shortest episodes on record, we got an awful lot of feedback from it. Right. And so
In other words, maybe we should move on to our real topic so that we don't talk too long.
I don't want to get any more. Right. No. However, if you do have feedback on that, we love to have it.
Let us know. It's fun to hear from you folks.
It is. It is really fun to hear from everybody.
See what you're thinking.
The topic for today... Boy, we've played around with the topic and the idea of it.
What do we call this topic?
Yeah, I think the easiest way to refer to it is leave that stuff at home.
Leave that stuff at home. Marcia's rolling her eyes.
Recently had some. We've had some experiences here at the theater, which is sort of prompting this. But also, you know, one of the things that happens is that people do things that they maybe shouldn't be doing in the course of a rehearsal period or in the course of a show performance period.
Right.
And because casts get to be very close. Sometimes casts attempt to get a little too close. And that's
there are other things that occur that should be left at home. But yes, you're right. Internal romance
is
an issue sometimes in casts.
And having been 20 something at one time, I'm well aware of what romance used to be. And I'm croaking that out right now. The problem is that you can't control people's emotions and you can't do that, but you can sort of set some parameters, I think.
Right. And you probably should. And I know, like, for example, I've been pretty lax. I have a set of written rules and regulations. They don't really define personal behavior. Mm-hmm. Other than attendance at rehearsals.
Personal behavior is what in the long run can be the most destructive.
And I agree. And I, after our discussion at our regular breakfast this morning, I'm seriously thinking about pulling those instructions out and doing a little bit of rework on them to add some of what we're going to talk about today.
Right. Yeah. Well, one of the things that we're talking about in sort of this whole topic area is backstage romances and all that goes with that, I guess. And I've got a rule as a director. It's not a rule, but it's essentially the idea of leave that stuff at home because I very often will tell casts, you know, sometimes even in a written form to tell them that, you know, this is not the place to have a romance. Rehearsal's not intended as a dating opportunity. And because you get that kind of, you know, you can have problems. Some people break up or try to hook up. I mean, there's a lot of things that happen in rehearsal period and performance period that maybe shouldn't be happening because you're already under a sort of emotional stress to do a show. Right. Why are you adding an extra element to it while you're trying to do something else?
Right.
You know, and it can be a problem. And it's not just for the people involved. It's for the cast around that's kind of watching this go on.
Right. Right. Yeah. And when we come to the community theater, for us especially, this is a social time. Mm-hmm. Many people who are working in community theater and civic theaters across the United States, across the world, are doing this because it's fun. It's a social evening. It's a way to express your creativity. And so for some people, it is their only social outlet.
That's too bad.
You know, they may not go to church. They may not have other clubs. They may have social stuff that they do at work, which also has rules and regulations, by the way.
Yeah.
But you know, so
I don't know
when
why
you come
people
here,
think because if you come to the theater, everything's off.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
You're in a place where everything is make-believe. And so, wow, go for it. Mm-hmm. And bad. Because I think something like that, I mean, what's between two individuals or three or however many is their own business outside the theater. But when it's something that, when it gets spread around, and quite frankly, how do you keep anything from getting spread around today that could come back and really hurt the theater?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, it's, I don't know. It's like you're daubed with the same red paint as put on the offenders. Well, yeah, it's not fair. It's not fair to the other people who work here and create good theater here. And it's just something that it's too bad. I agree with John. It's way too bad that this kind of thing has to be spelled out as a do not do it here. You know, but unfortunately, it seems that maybe that's what it's come to. And I'm sorry about that.
And the remedy, of course, is that ultimately, if you're one of those people or if an actress is one of those people that continues to kind of, you know, go around the rule, can't kind of control themselves, whether it happens to be in terms of romantic behavior, drinking, smoking pot. That mean, then those things are also issues that we've talked about.
Right.
That at a certain point, you're not asked back. And so you jeopardize your own. And the theater has more justification if the policy is fairly clear.
That's right. And that's what I was just thinking. You know, they're not asked back, but there should be a reason why. Mm-hmm. There should, and it's terrible. I'm only 50, and yet I feel like I'm I don't know. Things have just changed so dramatically in the last few years. But Marcia's right that with the internet and with Facebook and with all these things, that sometimes as a community theater, you just have to protect yourself against the possibility or the potential of really lost revenue in a way.
Yeah, right.
Because if stuff, and it's, I feel so like a fuddy-duddy when I say but it's.
There's no such thing as what happens in the theater stays in the theater. You want to do that, go to Las Vegas, you know?
Right.
But it just doesn't happen like that here. Everything gets out.
So I think all of us would encourage every community theater to have written policy.
Yeah.
A policy, almost like a policy handbook or just a policy handout that even most corporations have now.
Right.
That, you know, this is the type of behavior that is, because this really becomes a workplace. In the long run, the reason why you're putting a show on is not just to entertain a public, but it's, you can't not make money. You can't, and so it is a business. We are a business, and you have to consider it that way. And so there, you know, in the workplace, it's spelled out. There should not be office romance.
And some of the
the stage like the office. You know, after a show is over, if you want to pursue somebody, and you're not in the show together, pursue. You know, that's maybe that's okay. But when you're in a show, when you come in through that front door, this is a workplace.
Right.
You want to have fun. You want to play. You want to have you want to enjoy
make some
everybody's
friends.
That's it is a social place.
Right.
But it can't be a place where, and I love your term, Dave. What do you say to people?
So this is it's not a date. The rehearsal's not a date, and this is not the place to work out your personal problems or your last divorce.
Yeah.
Or your next divorce.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, no, you know, and you're right, I think. And that's so, but that policy being written down could really be helpful.
That's right. Well, there's maybe a backlash to having a written policy, because then if you don't stick to it, you can have some issues. You know, suddenly it's like, well, I know that's your policy, but guess who was doing what, blah, 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 that you didn't know about. So you have that kind of problem.
Right. And you don't want people to rat on other people.
No,
I mean, that's,
you don't.
That's always an issue too. For any reason. I mean, backstage romance, pot smoking in the back.
Mm-hmm. You can smell.
If you're on the directing team and you're not
I don't know about it. I don't know about it now, frankly, but back in the 70s, back in the 70s, dope smoking was pretty common. It is less of an issue than it was, at least in our particular community, as far as I can tell, among Arc Theater people, anyhow.
That's meth.
It was huge at one time.
What's just joking. I'm just joking.
That's meth. Yeah.
Meth. Yeah. Yeah.
Cut that out.
Thank God for
just
meth.
Cut that out. Oh my Lord. You're getting worse and worse, you guys.
All right.
So, but I mean, the written policy should be towards things sometimes that you don't even think about, you know, even at cast parties, which is still a representation of the theater, you know, you're representing.
It could be
the
in
theater.
Someone's private home, and maybe they're okay with certain things.
But especially if you have young people around,
right,
who are not of age, but even so, if it's an illegal activity, it really shouldn't be happening at anybody's cast parties.
No, it shouldn't be happening in your home when nobody else is around either.
But again, you can't regulate that in somebody's home. That's their home. But if it's a cast party that is being offered to the entire company, then you have to agree to certain things, which is that, you know, you really shouldn't be doing illegal things at a cast party.
That's right. That's right.
You know, and then, you know, if everybody that is, you know, I have been at cast parties where the pot has come out, and people know my feeling about it, which is I leave. If I see it, I leave.
Now you know the way to get rid of John at a party.
Oh, that's true.
I'll just say the pot's coming out.
That's right. Oh, if the pot's coming out,
I
John's
leaving. Allowed a joint and John will leave.
Well, cast parties are hard to regulate. In fact, we did have some issues a number of years ago when it was actually not a cast party, but it was a group of people that were together, and someone drove away and ended up wrapping themselves around a tree, and no one was paying much attention. And we lost that person. And had it been an official cast party, it might have been bigger news, I suppose. But it was at that point that this theater started kind of, I won't say controlling, but did at least keep a closer watch on the alcohol consumption in any of the cast parties. We were fairly strict about it for a while. People were watching much more closely because we realized what had happened.
Yeah.
And this has been 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. But it, again, it's a reputation thing. You know,
exactly.
You want to make sure that the organization has a, your organization has a good reputation.
Well, and we're trying to foster, every theater wants to foster a feeling of community, but also of safeness, of
right.
safety.
Right.
You know, and, you know, we're working more and more with youth. We're working more and more with elderly people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Some community theaters are working with, well, no, but I mean, and working with mentally handicapped people. You know, there are different programs going on at community theaters across the United States. And there's, and having these policies in place where everybody can come to the theater and feel safe, mm-hmm. whatever they're doing and in whatever capacity.
Right.
And guess what? Nobody wants to pass along good things about you, but give them a bad thing and mm-hmm. it'll be all over mm-hmm. town.
That's right.
So and, you and, just have to
and
take
here's, here's the problem with that. And this comes from my training as in customer service types of issues that you, that if you, yes, you're absolutely right. People tend to also believe the bad news
of
before
course.
They believe the good news. And they will spread it around. And if you get one person complaining about you, they've probably told 20 other people who will tell yep. 10 or 15 other people. And it just, because it's one of those things that it's sort of an unexpected thing and yeah. it really can reflect badly.
Yeah.
Marcia would call me a Susie Sunshine, probably, because I always try to believe the best about everybody.
I know.
Which is
that's
not
why
always
I'm
the
here,
best
John.
So,
because you believe the best and
but
I believe the worst.
But it is a poor,
so
deluded is when, person.
Sometimes
poor deluded
even when person. Negative information comes my direction, it's hard for me to believe until I'm actually yeah. told by either the person that it had this occur.
Yeah, but don't you think in your position as artistic director that you may not want to believe it, but that it's your responsibility to check it out?
It is. And, yeah. and if people okay. would come to you, a lot of times people are afraid to come to you, yet another reason to have policy in place.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if, you know, that policy says if you're feeling uncomfortable, you know, and I have that policy with kids and I give it to kids. I don't even think about adults, you know, and maybe it's adults
it
who need
kids.
It. Yeah, exactly. But you know, like I've had kids come to me and say, you know, I just don't feel comfortable.
Right.
Especially with like middle school kids, high school kids, where the hormones sometimes are just running rampant. And a boy will approach a girl and say, you know, I think you're really cute. And then they kind of get it gets a little bit creepy for the girl. I'm happy to say that a lot of times I'll have those girls will come to me and say, I am feeling very uncomfortable. And then I have a policy in place. I call that young person or boy or girl, because it's happened with both. I call that person in. We have adults in the room and we have the parents in the room. And it's kind of like a little intervention, and they know that if something happens, you know, again, that they could possibly be out of the show. And if it, you know, it maybe not be asked to do a show again, if that kind of behavior continues, because mm-hmm. yeah. there have to be recourses.
Right.
And that's another reason why having an adult policy is just as important.
Oh,
you yeah. know, that if somebody comes to me as the director or the artistic director, and we have a line of defense here, it's supposed to start with the stage manager. And if the stage manager can't handle it, it goes to the assistant director, then to the director if it has to. But if, and then to me, if in the long run, but if, you know, if I'm approached, it's my job to make sure it gets taken care of. If I have a policy in place, it's a whole lot easier to take care of the problem.
Yeah. I mean, some organizations are going to have a hard time doing this because, you know, small organization, maybe more loosely organized, may not be able to enforce things like that, but they ought to try. And they, especially if they expect an organization to grow, they can't have
and
something.
It just doesn't take that much time. A lot of community yeah. theaters have posted their policies on the web.
Yeah,
you can actually just do some Googling and or Binging or however you want to yeah. do it. Actually, I'm starting to like Bing better than Google. Go figure. But
Bing is one of our sponsors for this episode, by the way.
But you can honestly find that information. You can find like photo release forms. You can find all kinds of different things that you really yeah. should do. So if you're a small community theater and you don't have the ability to really create it on your own, you think there are other theaters who have already done that work for you.
Steal from the best.
Yeah. And I think if we do have a policy adopted for mm-hmm. all, well, one for the kids and one for the adult shows, that if every person who comes to audition gets one of those, so yeah. that if they have any hesitancy about being
idea.
Involved with a group where this kind of behavior or whatever is not allowed,
they
won't come back.
Yeah. What do you yeah. think about, and the only reason I bring this up is they used to do this with my kids in band, is that you have a signed, you sign something that commits you to doing the show and to following the rules.
Yeah, contracts.
It's probably not legally binding, but it does make sure that everybody's actually read it and done. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think that would be difficult to do. It's a good idea. Some better for kids, but
we do have a local theater that does make people sign a contract.
Yeah. The thing about, especially with kids, sometimes is that there's not a sense that they have to be there all the time. And parents may not even be aware that this is not a class you can miss one once in a while. Right. And it's just kind of, it's sort of an educational tool in some respects, not a threat, but something that just sort of explains that, you know, what the obligation is, you know, and so that's a possibility.
But, you know, in the long run, even if a theater doesn't have written regulations, if you think that your behavior may be inappropriate, and of course, sometimes it's hard for people to determine if it's part of their regular lifestyle, but if you think your behavior is inappropriate, leave it at home.
Leave that stuff at home. Well, that kind of wraps up this episode of Theater Geeks.
There we go.
It's more fun at home anyway. There, right? Yeah. Turn the lights down and all that kind of stuff. Okay. Never mind. Never mind. enough about that.
Anyway.
Okay. That kind of wraps up this episode of Theater Geeks. Please be sure to stop by the website where you can listen to the podcast and read the show notes. And there may be some links that are related to this topic there as well. You also can pick us up to listen on iTunes, on Blueberry, at the Blueberry Network, blubrry.com. And you can also listen to us on Stitcher Smart Radio, also TuneIn Network, and just any other little old podcatcher that you happen to desire. And so we're just everywhere. But also be sure to stop by the online store, which is at theatergeeks.com/store. We've got hats, we've got cups, we've got, what's your favorite, Marcia? Teddy bears and coffee cups. That's right. And they just look great. And I actually, you know what my favorite, I've never said what my favorite thing is.
What is your favorite, Dave?
My favorite thing is the long sleeves t-shirts.
Oh,
they're very comfortable and they keep you warm in the wintertime. Now, winter's almost over here. We hope, but they're really comfortable and they're good quality shirts, by the way. So
in other words, they don't shrink.
They don't shrink and they're kind of nice thick fabric and all that kind of stuff.
We'll have to try that.
That's good. Okay. That's all from us. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaub.
And I'm Marcia Fulmer. And we are Theater Geeks.
Gives our own little music there.
I want you to know that.
Music for Theater Geeks was provided by MusicAlley.com.
Theater Geeks is a production of the Dufour Creative Network.